Hello, welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. I'm your host, Frank Angelos. Our topic today, seeing how this is our first show, is educating you on what is responsible wealth, where this topic come from, and what's it all about. About 30 years ago, I entered into the financial service business, and in providing financial advice to people, what I used to observe was that the typical person, when we would sit down and try to talk to them about what their financial position is, what do they need, and so forth, we used to do a lot of what I refer to as needs-based planning. Needs-based planning is very similar to what people experience today, which is basically we identify what someone needed for college, what they needed for retirement, estate planning, or whatever the case might be. The end result of which was after we stacked up a variety of needs of what someone had to take care of, they would buy products and services to fix whatever the shortfalls might be. The issue of the day always was that it was kind of like headache and aspirin planning, which is, effectively we identified for someone they had a headache or they had a problem, and then we used to sell them aspirins to fix the problem. What occurred over time, however, is that most people really didn't like that process. They don't like it right up till today. And the reason being is because there's so many different variables in the financial world that you really can't accurately project what the future might look like. And that being the case, what started to happen was we started to do a different type of planning where we used to try to identify where there were different inefficiencies and where we can really help people. That being the case, we started to really modify how we saw money, how people utilize money in their life, and how do people really get what they want out of money. And when I talk about wealth, what we started to identify also was that most people, as it related to wealth, they used to think it was all about money. And then as we started to get into this other process, it started to become more of a life coaching. And that life coaching turned into, what do you want? What do you want your life to look like? What would make you happy? And ironically, it wasn't all about money. And so what we started to do then was really identify what is it that we can help people with. And then as we started to go out there and have these conversations, I used to get people that would sit down with me and they would say, Frank, the perspectives that you have about wealth and money is so different. You should write a white paper on this. That white paper ultimately ended up being a book that was, came out about 3 years ago, referred to as Discovering Responsible Wealth. That book that I had published, Discovering Responsible Wealth, really starts to identify how do you really get the life that you want and how do you build that life of wealth. That being the case, what we started to do and what I started to educate people about was that in order for someone to be happy, it wasn't always just about money. As a matter of fact, if you just take a look at the secular world today, there's a lot of people that have no money and are very happy, and there's a lot of people that have a lot of money that are very unhappy. So money as the core in your life is never going to make you happy, and it's not going to make you unhappy. It certainly helps, and it helps to give you a certain quality of life. But at the end of the day, it's not all about money. So one of the things that I started to write about, when I did this book, was that in order for you to really have a happy, fulfilling life, you needed to have what I was refer to as the wealth building blocks. And the wealth building blocks really come down to five aspects of your life, which is really your faith, your family, your health, purpose, and money. And as I would go out and do different talks and lectures on this, I would always ask people and say, so which of the top four, faith, family, health, and purpose, would you give up for the money? And everybody would tell me none of them, in which case it really started to put money in the right perspective as to where it should be in your life and how your life should be balanced, which is it shouldn't be all about money. Ironically, for a lot of people, they think that the more that they have, the happier that they'll be. Unfortunately, for those people, they spend most of their life chasing money that they miss everything else and end up with their life being unbalanced, and they end up not being very happy. So what we'd start to point out to people and what I started educating them about was that in order for you to really have that happy, balanced life, you really need to start out with what I refer to as the perspective of alignment. And the idea of alignment is what you're doing in alignment with the outcome of what you really want in your life. And it really works in all of the wealth building blocks. Just take a look at your health. you know, with regard to what's your diet, what's your exercise, and if you want to be healthy and happy, is it consistent with being healthy and happy? So if you're spending, you know, a lot of your time eating fast food, you're not eating at the right time, you don't exercise, but you say, yeah, but I want to be in great shape, that's really not going to happen. And the same thing happens as it relates to money, which is if you're not making responsible decisions as it relates to money and how money plays a role in your life, you'll end up with the same effect, basically, which is you're not going to be happy there either. You know, so it's one of those of, I always point out, every aspect of your life is either an asset or a liability. And the objective should be is that you build as many assets in your life and you eliminate liabilities wherever possible. So, you know, with that in mind, let's just look at that a little bit. You know, taking care of your health, it's an asset. Starting to save, you know, on a regular basis or having a budget, that's an asset. Having good people in your life and good influences in your life, that's an asset. However, on the other side of that is emotional spending. Emotional spending is, you know, you're walking through the mall, you see something, you say, I got to have it. And next thing you know, you're putting $400 on a credit card, $300 on a credit card, or you're making emotional decisions instead of wise and financial decisions. Those become liabilities over longer periods of time. So the whole thing is really to start to look at actions, okay, start looking at, you know, alignment, what it is that you're really trying to accomplish, and, you know, we go from there. Now, as it relates to that, let's talk about the money side since we're talking about discovering responsible wealth. So one of the things I like to point out to people, I remember years ago when IRAs started to become popular, and we used to see the, you know, the commercials for the banks and for the different financial institutions that if you put away a couple $1,000s a year over a period of time would equate to be $1 million. Well, what started to happen is that when people would start doing, you know, these investments, they missed the small print. And the small print was talking about some projected interest rate that they thought that they might achieve in order to do that. And what people would start to do then is say, geez, you know, if I was able to earn, say, 12% on my money over the next 25 years, I'd only have to put away, say, $7,000 a year. So it would say, wow, now I just have to pursue investments or a rate of return that might do that. The other side of that is when that didn't occur and they only achieved 5%, they were nowhere near their mark. They were nowhere near what they wanted to do. But what typically happens is we're always trying to take the road of least resistance. So the planning process for someone may actually look like this. If you want to accumulate $1 million over the next, say, 25 years, what would happen is you'd have three options. Option number one, you can risk your money at 12% and put away $7,000 a year. Option two, you have a little less risk and maybe you put away $14,000 to $15,000 a year, which is almost double in order to get the same result. Or if you were conservative and you said, well, what if I only got 5%? You might have to put away as much as, say, $20,000 a year. So being, you know, creatures of habit, and we always look for the easiest way out. What a lot of people would say is, well, there's a big difference between putting away $20,000 a year and $7,000 a year. I think I'll sign up for the seven. And what people started to do and what they do right up till today is they end up speculating and hoping that they're going to get the results that they're shooting for, that it's just going to work out, or perhaps they'll hit the lottery, or, you know, whatever the case might be. So what I point out to you is that, you know, the objective really should be not to be gambling with your money, to be more conservative, and to be responsible with the decisions that you're making, and to avoid that concept of speculating in lieu of investing. Now, with that in mind, there was an interesting report that came out recently. It was by the U.S. Census Bureau, and they were talking about people and having adequate, you know, retirement income. And it basically pointed out that 97% of the population will not be able to retire with the same level of income that they're earning during their working career. So that becomes a very scary topic, and it's one of those, especially with the baby boomers who are starting to retire, of what you need to be doing as you go forward. So one of our biggest objectives that we're trying to teach people to do is that in order to really start providing for a secure retirement for yourself, you need to pay yourself first. That should be number one. Number two should be is you have to make sure that you're having proper asset allocation in any investments that you're doing. And when I say proper asset allocation, there was another study done that basically said that 94% of investment success really comes from having the right mix. 4% of investment success comes from the right selection of investments, and 2% actually comes from timing, as far as, you know, whether you should be in or out of the market at the, you know, right time, wrong time, whatever the case might be. So with that being the idea, you know, and just looking at this, you need to be saving, you need the right asset allocation, and then the last one is you need to have good investments. And when I talk about good investments, I talk about investing, not speculating. What that basically means is you can use index funds, you could use ETFs. You need to get good advice from whoever it is that you're dealing with. And when I tell you that is that most people that are in the financial service business, they claim to be investment managers. They're really not investment managers. What they typically are is they're a broker, they're an advisor, and they represent the investment manager or whoever it is actually that's going to invest your money. So the advice that we provide to people and that I'm trying to tell you, you know, today is that you've got to take responsibility for how your money's being managed, and you have to start making sure that you're paying attention to what are the fees that you're paying, what's the asset allocation that you're getting, that you have broad diversification. And then the last part of that is that you're not trying to time the market. And when I talk about timing the market, there's a study that came out by Dalbar, basically, and that's a service that, you know, studies, you know, investment behavior. And it indicated that people that try to time the market moving in and out tend to do very poorly over a long period of time. So you have to really stay in there and not try to jump in and jump out, because you're typically going to miss the high spots and the low part spots in the market. And nobody can really do it effectively. So that being the case, you know, I'm going to wrap up our, you know, conversation this morning. It was a pleasure being with you here. If you have questions and you'd like to know more about responsible wealth, you can write to IofRW at 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736. Again, it's IofRW, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736. Or you can email us at info@iofrw.com. Again, that's info@iofrw.com. Pleasure being here with you today. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week.